It says in the Bible that that we're hostile in God, people outside of Christ, they're hostile toward God. In some places, like Romans 1, certain people are haters of God.
Yeah.
You know, they're enemies of God. You know, so people, there's this psychological, spiritual truth taught over and over and over again in Scripture that one of the reasons why people simply reject God, his revelation in nature and his special revelation in the person of Christ, is because they do not want God. They simply don't want the truth, right?
Yeah.
So some people in the New Age movement, they're there because they're genuinely searching for the truth. That's what they tell themselves. Well, I am searching for the truth. Day by day, I'm learning more and more. No, you're not. Why haven't you read the New Testament yet?
Yeah.
You haven't read the New Testament in your whole life, right? So you're going to read all these other texts, study all these different traditions, and go on all these other trajectories. You're going to say you want the truth. And then, like me, when I was in the New Age movement, I didn't read the Gospel of John a single
Me too.
time.
Me too.
I didn't read the New Testament. Oh, I know all the things about God and about Jesus Christ, about, you know, my purpose here. But there's this book I won't read because it's gonna confront something in me. Well,
And you
hey.
inherently know that, like in your spirit, even if you won't recognize it, you know that it's because same with me. I knew if I read that thing, that would be the end of my New Age fun I was having. I in my spirit, as much as I tried to deny it in my brain, I knew it would do that. I knew it would confront it, and I knew I wouldn't have answers for it. So I thought, well,
Right.
nah.
They don't want a set of facts that corresponds to them and to reality. They don't want a set of true propositions. They want to create a spiritual worldview that suits their preferences, that
That's right.
suits their desires, whatever they feel is best relatable to them in that season of their life. They want to be able to draw from different spiritual traditions they feel will allow them to feel justified. They think will allow them to be preserved in their current orientation. They don't want the truth. Here are the truths about man. Here are the truths about you. Here are the truths about the cross. Here's the truths about your sin. Here are the truths about the Father. Here are the truths about the afterlife. They don't want that. A lot of times they simply do not want that. And I have people in the New Age movement, a lot of them are listening in and following my ministry and your ministry. And you know, a lot of them ask me really sincere questions, and I know that the Lord, that the Father's drawing them, and that the Lord is beginning to do a work in them. But then there's some who follow me and they comment things for the purpose of trying to feel self-justified in their rebellion against God. And I can sense it, like the kind of garbage that they say.
Oh yeah, I get them on mine too.
That can be debunked in 5 seconds, 10 seconds of research. It's like you are not trying.
They're not asking for the purpose of sincerely seeking out the truth. They're asking to justify themselves, like you said, and that's why they haven't done the research. If they did the research, if they were really seeking truth, they would already have the answer to it.
Have you ever read the New Testament front to back? Have you ever taken a week to read the New Testament front to back? No. Okay, have you ever looked up this idea that you have about, you know, Jesus being the Piscean fish god? Have you ever tried to debunk that idea and looked at other theories of Christ that aren't that? Well, no. Okay, so you're set in your ways and you're going to try and use me and other Christian ministries and, you know, the church did this and this Christian said this to me.
Stephen Bancars didn't reply to my comment.
Right, are you going to use that as a means to justify being in rebellion to the God you know that exists? Because the Bible says you know he exists, you know some things about him, and that you suppress that truth in unrighteousness, and you know you do. And people will know this. They know that they, even atheists, the two principles that atheists live by are God doesn't exist and I hate him.
That's true.
God doesn't exist and I'm angry with him.
They don't hate unicorns
Right,
or leprechauns.
They don't have anger, and they don't their blood pressure doesn't rise when you start talking about Bugs Bunny. But you start talking about the Father of Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they start manifesting demons and growling. It's like let's cut to the chase already. It's like you're too prideful to admit you need help, and that you're a sinner and that you need a savior. You're too prideful. Just get over your pride. I deal with it with family members, with friends all the time. It's like it's an issue of pride. Like, why can't you just say, I'm broken, Jesus, I need you? Oh, and then they start tweaking out. It's like you've become your own God for so long. You don't know what it's like to be self-honest anymore. And I do think a really big reason a lot of people are in the New Age movement and why the New Age movement is so prevalent in our culture, I believe a biblical reason why, is because they don't really want the truth. People want to serve themselves and have beliefs that make them feel good rather than beliefs that correspond to actuality.
That's right.
And so people want to find reasons to justify their rebellion and continuing to be the Lord of their own life. So to end this off,
yeah,
I want to ask you a question. So basically, we were both in the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
For a while, we were both completely deceived and lost. What do you wish that your former self would have known about the New Age movement? If you could tell yourself something now, what would it be?
We're smiling because before, when we were preparing for this interview, that I was reading that question and I told Steve, that's a really good question. And I read it out loud. And then, so I said, you know, what do you wish your former self knew? And then Steve said the truth, that the New Age is a lie. And we were kind of laughing about it. But so people at home saw that we were smiling during that question. That's why. But you know what? I think what it is, what I was really craving as a New Ager, what I was really craving all my life is just to know that I was special and loved. There was a severe lack of love when I was growing up from many of my family members, not all of them, but many of them. And, you know, I briefly mentioned about some abuse and stuff like that. There was just a lot of things growing up where I didn't feel special or loved or really anything like that. But I craved it constantly. And the more I craved it, it was like the less I would get of that. So, you know, I would try to get like attention from my mom, but it would just annoy her really bad. So it never worked out in my favor. And because of that, I started feeling like a victim. And I started living in that. I started identifying with it, that I'm a victim. I don't have control over any of this, you know. I made it to high school and got severely like bullied in middle school and high school. And so that just further perpetuated this idea that, wow, even other people are treating me like this. Like I am really just not special at all, but right. I felt like I should be. It wasn't the type of realizing that you need improvement and realizing who you are without Christ that is helpful. It wasn't that at all. It was just this self-defeating victimhood thing. Like I have no potential. I'm garbage, and you know I'm worthless, and I'm gonna cry and whine about it. And there are times where people will feel like that, and then they give that to Christ. And that's good because like with the when all the demon stuff was happening, I had no control over that. But it wasn't that I was necessarily feeling victimized. It was for the first time in my life I realized I caused this. So like part of my getting picked on in school was I didn't take any time to develop a good set of social skills. I could have taken that responsibility on myself. I mean, there are too many people in this culture that would say, well, no, your mom was supposed to do that. Well, yeah, she was, but she didn't. Okay, so what am I going to do? Am I just going to accept that and not try to improve the situation and cry and whine about it? Because that's exactly what I did, and stay a victim. Or am I going to just say, okay, well, this is not ideal, but I can do better than this. You know, there are tools out there that can help me out of this situation. I never did that because I was lost in this victimhood thing. And so me getting into New Age really played on that because it helped me at the time. I thought it was helping me realize that I am special, and not only am I special, but I'm better than all of those bullies, and I'm better than like my mom and all these people that treated me terribly. You know, the truth is, I'm the same as all of them. We all are. We're all born into a fallen world, and we all have a sin nature. And the only difference is, do we ever deal with that and give it to Christ, or do we just live it out?
Mm-hmm.
We all have the potential to be these awful people, and if we don't realize that, we can't do anything about it. So New Age gave me just a shortcut, you know? You can today just be the best you can be, and you can just realize that you were fine all along, and you were victimized, but now you can like astral project, so you know, who cares?
Everything has happened exactly as you planned it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
In the spirit world.
Right. It sold me this lie, and I thought, wow, that sounds good. That's an answer. But the truth that I wish I would have realized back then is that is just such a fake, unstable way to live your life because you're denying your own individual responsibility in the bad things that have happened. And I'm not saying that they're, obviously my abuse as a kid, I couldn't control that. I don't have any responsibility for that, but I do have responsibility, in my adult life, how I choose to react to it. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not be individually responsible for some of the bad things that happened to us. Some things we might be, but some things we might not be, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're abused as a child, obviously you don't have any, like, you have no responsibility in that. But you do have a responsibility for how you act. There's this common statistic that I don't know what it is. It's a very high percentage, something like 80 or 90% of kids who are sexually abused when they were children, they grow up and then they become pedophiles too. And it's an insanely high statistic. That's what happens in this victimhood culture that we live in, that tells people that they're victims and everybody else needs to like coddle them so they don't get their feelings hurt, and never confronts them with, well, okay, that is a terrible thing that happened to you, and I love you, and that's awful. But what can we do? What can you do to make that situation not define your whole personhood? You know, what can you do to make that irrelevant to how you live your life now? How can you truly overcome that? You don't overcome it by trying to control everybody else and telling them they need to coddle you. And there's a lot of movements like that in our current culture, yeah. Many of them on the left. But I wish that back then I had that understanding, that whatever I was feeling about myself for various reasons, that did not have to define me. Because what's so much better is if Christ defines you. I didn't realize it, but I was already special. You know, if I already had the knowledge of God, and if I would have truly given my life over to Him earlier, that you're already special because you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Christ literally died and gave up His life for you. How many people can you say in your life that you would give up your life for? You know, maybe your family, a few friends or something. What about the whole entire world for all generations? knowing that most people were going to hate you for it. A lot of people hate Jesus for that.
And knowing you're going to suffer spiritual torment on the cross.
Yeah.
And be tortured physically.
Exactly.
So the most grueling was the bearing of our sin.
Yeah. Right?
You know, there's been many a Christian who have rejoiced going to, you know, crosses,
mm-hmm.
and to be burned alive at the stake. They're singing hymns and praises to God,
yeah.
as they're being burnt alive,
mm-hmm.
right? So are we going to say Jesus is crying tears of blood and saying, Father, please, no, take this cup from me, no, if there's any other way, no. But then these Christian martyrs are much more brave and courageous,
right.
going to the cross and volunteering to mm-hmm. be martyrs for the name of Christ when Jesus is overhearing saying, please, no.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wasn't tormented over the thought of what man was going to do to him
mm-hmm.
on the cross. He was tormented at what the Father was going to do to him
yes.
on the cross, which was the imputation of our sin to him,
mm-hmm.
him bearing our sin in his body and drinking from the cup of his Father's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it says that Jesus says, "Why, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?"
Yeah.
Like Jesus literally, like it says, he became sin.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that he, you know, was literally like this defiled, you know, piece of sinful trash on mm-hmm. the cross. It means that he was treated by the Father in that moment as if he was sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because our sins were imputed to him. Our trespasses were nailed to the cross.
He took on our full punishment, and the only thing he asks in return is that we just believe he did that.
Right.
How much more? And this is what kind of blows my mind with atheists who don't really think this through, because a lot of them will say that, like, well, God just requires so much out of people. Does he? Look at what he went through. Look at what Jesus went through for all of us. And the only thing that he asks is that we just believe that he did that, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's more stuff that goes along with that. But to just get saved, to make that first step, that's it. And then you start your walk with Christ. You start to develop a relationship with him, and you start to know what loving God is all about. And then you want to conform yourself to Christ as much as possible. It's a process. It'll take the rest of your life, you know? But it just adds so much more richness and real true healing of whatever might have happened to you from any Christian or non-Christian. It actually puts you in a position where you can work with Christ and know that Christ is working with you and showing you the best way how to deal with all that. You got the creator of the universe showing you how to handle your problems. How more special can you be?
Right.
That's what now if I were to ask you the same question, what do you wish you would have known?
Well, to be honest, I wish I would have known that it was all false.
Yeah.
that it had nothing to do with what I thought it had to do with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, just to be blunt, I mean, I do wish I knew it was false. Like, yeah. This is not true. Steve,
yeah.
Steve, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew that. But more specifically, I wish that I knew that there was a way to fundamentally know that I was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish that there was, I knew that Christ was interactional mm-hmm. with those who believe on him with a repentant faith.
Yeah.
Right. So I wish I knew about the person of the Holy Spirit, about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that the Creator, that, you know, his Son, that Jesus, that they wanted to interact with me supernaturally by giving me the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I wish I knew that there was that visceral, rich, spiritual livelihood available mm-hmm. in Christ. I didn't know that. I literally thought, okay, you know, I try and serve Jesus with my life. I try and be a better person. I profess him around people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of it.
Yeah.
I didn't know. No, you go in your prayer closet and go encounter God.
Mm-hmm.
No, go to a worship service and you know, a prayer and worship conference and get rocked by God and leave life changed and get mm-hmm. healing from 10, 15 years worth of wounds. Like, yeah. I didn't know that there was this a spiritual aliveness and spiritual life provided through the person of the Holy Spirit. And mm-hmm. I guess I wish I knew that Jesus is Lord mm-hmm. and that when you submit to Jesus as Lord and believe on him with a repentant faith, that he gives you the person of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that the person of the Holy Spirit comes and fills you and makes Christ alive to you
yeah.
because he ascends and bears witness to Christ. I just wish I knew about the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
that it was possible to know firsthand that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, not through a set of arguments
mm-hmm.
and, you know, syllogisms. And, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power.
That's right.
And Paul says to the other churches, you know, we didn't come to you with, like, convincing words and you know, lofty speech, but with a demonstration of power in the Spirit. And I just wish I knew about the Holy Spirit. I wish I knew I could be filled by God.
Yeah.
That God could actually live in me and possess me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was already possessed. Mm-hmm. I just wish I knew I could have been possessed by God.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's what I wish I would have known. It's like, hey, Jesus is Lord. You can know he's Lord. Believe in him with a repentant faith and he'll draw you and then he'll fill you.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says you receive the Spirit upon the hearing that is with faith
mm-hmm.
In Galatians. So that's something I definitely wish I knew. One more quick question.
Sure.
What do you think is the most dangerous part about the New Age movement having the kind of foothold it does right now in our culture? What's the biggest danger to the New Age movement and the influence it has in our world right now?
I think the biggest danger, the thing that makes them so dangerous, is Christians don't realize what is New Age and what isn't. You know, like we talked about earlier, it blew my mind that a lot of people have this question about yoga, because I really thought, and it just shows my ignorance, but I really thought that most Christians probably already know that. When we were doing research for this book, it blew my mind that so many Christians have accepted this. I think the most dangerous part of it is that many Christians are involved in New Age beliefs and New Age practices without realizing that they're New Age. I think that if they... With the study that we cited at the beginning of this interview, they only dealt in four different things, right? And I bet if they actually went into the hundreds of New Age things that there are that people can believe in, I don't think there are any Christians that don't have at least one or two of them, you know? And it's because that, yeah, well, maybe me and you, but no, but like, it's because that, like, most people don't realize what is New Age, because New Age really is so deceptive, they'll use Christian terms.
Right.
And it doesn't even have to be on the super extreme stuff like astral projection or angel boards, or, you know, it could just be more in subtle stuff that'll, like, turn people away, you know, like the what goes around comes around thing. You know, the reason that I shouldn't do something bad to somebody is because that could be revisited on me. And people will put it in, like, Christian terms, like God will do that thing to me or something similar. I'm going to have to pay for that. That's not exactly what happens, you know. You should do good things. You should not want to do bad things, not for fear of what will happen to you because of it, but because it doesn't conform with Christ. You know, that's the reason, because he's laid out what's right and it's what's wrong, and it's not about a system of rules. It's about he knows what's best for us and we don't. It's the same thing, like, You tell your kids not to touch the stove, and because they'll burn their hand if they do. Now, what if the child thought that meant, I can't go touch the stove, otherwise my mom and dad are going to burn my hand, you know? That's karma. that's like this Christianized karma. Like, God is going to punish me in this way if I don't do what he says. What it's actually is no, the stove's going to burn you. So, you know, a lot of things that God tells us. Now, he definitely does have judgments, and there's certainly times where he'll take an active role in that. But a lot of the things that he tells us, he's trying to prevent something bad happening to us. You know, so when God tells us not to be involved in any of this New Age stuff or this witchcraft stuff, it's not because he's mean and doesn't want us to have any fun and he's just tyrannical. It's because he knows what's going to happen if we get into it.
Right.
It's nothing good, and it only tears us away from him. But we still have free will, and we can still do that if we want to. He's just trying to give us the knowledge of what's going to happen if that happens. Now, again, I said that's not a direct, like, 100% of the time, because sometimes he does lay down judgments, and he'll lay down judgments on non-believers, too, all throughout the Bible, like with Pharaoh and a bunch of other places. But it's all, every time he does it, it's ultimately for good, for what he considers to be, for what he has defined as the best possible outcome in the way that he decides to do it. New Age doesn't deal in any of that. It's these very shallow belief systems that many Christians have adopted. And, I mean, our culture celebrates a New Age Christianity, basically. They just don't call it that. I think that's what the most dangerous thing about it is. It's tearing people away from Christ. In many cases, it's sending people to hell, and they don't know it. I think that at least a portion of some of those people in Scripture that's talked about, you know, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? And then God says, I never knew you. And then they're cast into outer darkness however. That should horrify us. It certainly horrifies me. But I think a portion of those people are going to be New Age people who think that they're Christians.
Right.
So that to me, that's I think is one of the most dangerous things. What about you? What would you say?
Yeah, I would say the most dangerous thing. I mean, I'm sorry for being so blunt, but the most dangerous thing about New Age spirituality is that it's wrong, and that when it comes to spiritual truths, there are severe, severe consequences for being wrong.
Yes.
So, you know, for people who are into tarot, for people who are into Hinduism, for people who are into Buddhism, the Bible says that you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You are just wrong. And there's severe consequences for being wrong. Namely, you know, Paul says in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, they will suffer eternal punishment away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might.
Yeah.
Like Jesus talks about hell 3-4 dozen times in Scripture. There is judgment that comes upon those who are going to suppress the truth about God and not bend their knee to Christ.
Isn't it strange that, you know, New Agers will buy into karma, but they won't buy into that? And that's the ultimate, like, yeah, you reap what you sow. You know, that's the ultimate, there is eternal consequences for what you do. And a just God is going to put that on you.
Right.
You know?
They'll say the universe will punish me for stealing, you know, something when I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
The universe is going to punish me in this life or the next, but they don't think God will.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't God have a standard of justice if he's morally perfect? If
That's
he
right.
is love, and love demands fair treatment and justice, he's going to hold people accountable for their sins against him and against other people in the world. And
That's so, right.
I mean, it's dangerous because, like you said, it does creep in very subtly into our thought life, where we don't even realize we're holding beliefs that are heretical and that are New Age. But the end game of New Age spirituality and the end game of the demons that have initiated it in our culture is to ultimately lead people into eternal destruction.
That's right.
To lead people away from the only person who can save them from the penalty and power of sin. And it does come down, it comes primarily down to, in Scripture, the primary function of Christ, of the atonement, is justification. We need to be justified, which means we need to be declared righteous before God. We're sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one who can stand before God and say, I'm without sin.
Amen.
You know, nobody's good. No, not one. Jesus says no one's good but the Father. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness from God. And guess what? God's given us the means of forgiveness. He loves us. He's willing to be gentle with us.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to experience the wrath of God when you come asking for forgiveness. You're going to experience
right.
grace, mercy, love, peace. All that wrath was dealt with on the cross with the atonement, with the person of Jesus. But people need to realize that there's eternal consequences for being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And eternity is an extremely long time to be wrong about the God that you know exists.
That's right.
So.